Have you ever found yourself staring at your bank account, paralyzed by financial anxiety? You're not alone. Sam inherited money after his father's death, but left it sitting in a savings account for years, overwhelmed by conflicting advice and fear of making a mistake. This financial paralysis affects millions. 76% of Americans experience financial stress monthly, with 60% worried they'll outlive their savings. What if the solution to this widespread problem was simpler than we've been led to believe? When University of Chicago professor Harold Pollack casually mentioned during an interview that all necessary financial advice could fit on a 3x5 index card, he inadvertently sparked a revolution. After posting a photo of his handwritten financial rules online, the image went viral, receiving hundreds of thousands of views and endorsements from financial experts worldwide. The Washington Post, Marketplace, and Forbes all praised its elegant simplicity. The message was clear. Despite what the financial services industry wants you to believe, the path to financial security isn't complicated. It just takes discipline. Learning to save money is the most fundamental step toward taking control of your financial life, yet it's increasingly difficult for many Americans. Between stagnating wages, median household income declined by about $3,000 between 1998 and 2013, and rising costs for essentials like healthcare and education, nearly half of American households couldn't come up with $400 in an emergency without selling something or borrowing. The psychological trap of financial scarcity makes matters worse. When you're constantly worrying about immediate cash flow, you make mistakes and often turn to credit cards as a solution. According to research on tunneling, constantly making small financial decisions depletes your decision-making ability for larger ones. Breaking this cycle requires understanding where your money actually goes. Start by tracking every expense for 3 months. Tools like Mint.com can automatically categorize credit and debit transactions, though you'll need to add cash purchases manually. This process reveals your spending patterns and helps identify necessary expenses versus luxuries. After the first month, examine your recurring, non-negotiable costs, like rent and insurance. By the third month, you'll have captured both regular and occasional expenses, giving you a comprehensive picture of your financial life. Rather than creating a rigid budget destined to fail, think of financial planning as surfing a financial wave, accounting for predictable expenses while maintaining flexibility. Don't forget to budget for enjoyment, movies, concerts, dining out, because starvation budgets fail just like starvation diets. Your first priority should be establishing an emergency fund with 3 months of non-negotiable living expenses. This provides peace of mind when inevitable crises occur. While cutting small luxuries helps, the non-latte factor reveals that your largest expenses, housing, transportation, healthcare, often offer the least immediate flexibility. For quicker wins, inspect monthly bills for unnecessary fees and reduce food waste, which costs the average family $1,365 to $2,275 annually. Make saving automatic so money goes directly to separate accounts without temptation. If saving 10-20% seems impossible right now, start with just 1% of your take-home pay, then increase by 1% each month. By year's end, you'll approach 10%. The savings habit strengthens with use. No one begins weightlifting with 50 pounds. That's why 1-pound weights exist. Eliminating high-interest debt is the single best investment opportunity most people will ever have. With average credit card interest rates around 15% and store cards reaching 25%, paying down debt provides a guaranteed, tax-free return that no other investment can match. The credit card industry deliberately sets minimum payments low to maximize interest profits. Studies show a third of cardholders pay only the minimum almost every month, falling prey to anchoring, where we assume the suggested minimum is appropriate. This approach dramatically extends repayment periods. A $5,000 balance at 18% interest with 2% minimum payments would take 32 years, costing over $12,000 in interest. To effectively tackle debt, gather all bills, credit cards, car loans, student loans, and rank them by interest rate. The mathematically optimal strategy is to focus extra payments on the highest interest debt while making minimum payments on others. For example, prioritizing a 25% interest card over a 10% one can save nearly $1,000 over 3 years without paying a penny more. Finding support makes debt repayment more sustainable. Consider forming a financial accountability group like Ellie, Meredith, and Joan, who met regularly to check in on financial goals. Their group expanded to 6 members and collectively eliminated tens of thousands in debt while supporting career changes and financial growth. Don't be afraid to call creditors to request lower interest rates. They may agree rather than risk losing your business to balance transfers or bankruptcy. While using balance transfers, watch for catches. New purchases often carry higher rates than transferred balances. While paying down debt, avoid accumulating more. Use cash or debit cards for purchases. Don't be seduced by rewards programs. Studies show people earning $25 monthly rewards increased their spending by $76 and their debt by $197. If you're considering debt consolidation, proceed with caution. These loans typically require securing them with your car or home, putting those assets at risk if you fall behind. About 900,000 Americans filed for personal bankruptcy in 2014, most due to healthcare bills, unemployment, or family collapse, not reckless spending. Many wait too long to file, draining protected retirement accounts in futile attempts to keep up with bills. While bankruptcy affects credit access, it stops debt collector harassment immediately and gives you a fresh start. After building an emergency fund, retirement savings becomes your most crucial financial priority, with no do-overs allowed. Starting in your 20s puts you in a strong position to maintain your standard of living after retirement. Wait until your 40s, and you'll need to save more than a third of your salary to catch up. Many people claim they'll work until they drop, but this isn't always realistic. The reality is that only about 20% of people remain employed past 65, with most retirees leaving the workforce earlier than planned due to health difficulties, caregiving responsibilities, downsizing, or age discrimination. The power of compound interest makes starting early crucial. When you begin at 25 and save $104 monthly for 40 years with a 6% annual return, you'll have about $200,000 by 65. Wait until 45, and you'll need to save $430 monthly to reach the same amount. Starting early also lets you ride out market fluctuations. While you could use a regular brokerage account, retirement accounts offer significant tax benefits that substantially increase long-term gains. Regular accounts are taxed annually on capital gains, but retirement accounts grow tax-free, allowing more money to compound. The most common workplace retirement plans are 401ks and 403bs, which allow employees to put aside pre-tax salary, with possible employer contributions too. Even if you're struggling financially, never turn down the employer match. 1 in 4 workers don't contribute enough to get the full match, costing themselves an average of $1,336 annually, essentially free money. If you want to save beyond your 401k or don't have one, consider IRAs. Traditional IRAs offer immediate tax deductions with tax-free growth, withdrawals taxed as income. Roth IRAs use after-tax contributions but offer tax-free withdrawals in retirement. SEP IRAs allow self-employed individuals to contribute 25% of income up to $53,000, 2015. About one-third of people borrow from their 401ks, what industry insiders call leakage. While the flexibility to access funds provides security, it undermines long-term savings. Withdrawals before age 59 1/2 typically incur taxes plus a 10% penalty. With 401k loans, you must repay within 5 years or face penalties, sooner if you leave your job. When changing jobs, resist the urge to roll over your workplace retirement plan into an IRA. Workplace plans typically offer lower fee investment options and stronger regulatory protections. The financial services sector encourages rollovers because they profit from them, not because it benefits you. Individual stock picking is a fool's errand for the average investor. Many delude themselves into thinking they can become the next Warren Buffett, forgetting that even Buffett benefits from special access, billions in capital, and a team of expert analysts unavailable to average investors. Behavioral finance researchers Brad Barber and Terrence Odine have repeatedly demonstrated that individual investors consistently make wrong calls, buying high, selling low, chasing trends, and panicking. Their landmark study of 66,465 households showed that the more frequently investors traded, the worse their returns became, with active traders underperforming the market by nearly 6.5% annually. Financial media spreads the toxic message that playing stocks is easy and fun, creating a dangerous environment of speculation rather than investment. When Jim Cramer enthusiastically promoted GT Advanced Technologies in August 2014, calling it a winner, the company filed for bankruptcy less than 2 months later, wiping out shareholders. Academic analysis even suggests the best strategy might be to bet against Cramer's recommendations, with his picks underperforming the market by 1.5% annually. Similar studies of other TV personalities and newsletter writers show equally poor track records. If someone truly had the ability to predict stock movements, why would they be selling newsletters or appearing on TV instead of quietly making billions? Common sense should tell you that genuine market wizards wouldn't be peddling $199 stock picks to regular people. Consider that Renaissance Technologies, one of the most successful hedge funds ever, keeps its trading algorithms strictly secret and doesn't accept outside investors in its most profitable fund. Alternative investments, anything that's not stocks, bonds, cash, or real estate, are marketed as exciting opportunities but are actually risky investments difficult to value transparently. Gold, collectibles, art, stamps, and cryptocurrency are all subject to trends, manias, and erratic price movements. For example, the 2017 cryptocurrency bubble saw Bitcoin rise from $1,000 to nearly $20,000, only to crash below $4,000 the following year. Similarly, the 1980s saw a bubble in rare coins and baseball cards, with many investors losing substantial sums when the market collapsed. The solution? Buy and hold a small selection of indexed, mutual, or exchange-traded funds for the long haul. A simple portfolio of 3 to 4 broad market index funds can provide complete global diversification at minimal cost. This approach might seem less exciting than chasing the next Apple, but it brings a huge relief. You don't need to constantly monitor business news or sacrifice time with family to read annual reports. Studies show that this passive approach has outperformed 80 to 90% of active managers over any 10-year period, while requiring minimal time and emotional energy to maintain. Many people approach retirement investing haphazardly, like Helene, who initially had her father-in-law fill out her retirement paperwork, or Harold, who randomly selected investment options just to stop a colleague's nagging. But there's a simpler way. Most mutual funds have professional managers actively selecting investments. Despite impressive credentials and full-time dedication, these professionals rarely outperform the market. According to recent surveys, over 80% of domestic stock funds performed worse than their benchmark indices over a 5-year period. The harsh reality is that less than 1% of actively managed funds beat their index when expenses are considered. Warren Buffett himself recommends a very low-cost S&P 500 index fund for his own children's inheritance. Index funds are pegged to match particular benchmarks, like the S&P 500 or Wilshire 5000, using passive rather than active management. They don't try to beat the market, they simply match it, which ironically becomes the winning formula for most investors. Index funds outperform because they cost less. While the average annual fee for a managed stock fund is 0.89%, index funds average just 0.12%. This seemingly small difference compounds dramatically over time. A $5,000 investment growing at 6% annually for 30 years would yield $5,000 more in the lower cost fund. Not all indexed funds offer equally low fees. While Vanguard's 500 index fund charges just 0.17%, some index funds charge 0.7% or more for essentially the same service. Companies charge these higher fees simply because they can, especially in workplace 401k plans where employees have limited options. For a sensible 40-year-old investor's portfolio, allocate 40% to bonds, roughly equal to your age, and 60% to stocks. For stocks, invest 70% in an S&P 500 index fund for domestic and international large cap exposure, 15% in a small cap index fund like Russell 2000 for potential growth, and 15% in a broad-based international fund. For bonds, a long-term bond index fund works well. Target date funds emerged about 20 years ago as one-stop retirement investments for less financially savvy people. Despite their simplicity, they have significant drawbacks. Many charge surprisingly high fees, often around 1% annually, much higher than simple index funds. More troublingly, surveys show most target date fund investors mistakenly believe these funds guarantee they'll at least get their initial investment back, which is simply untrue. When seeking financial advice, one word can protect your interests: fiduciary. A fiduciary has a legal obligation to put your interests first and isn't paid to steer you toward overpriced investments. Most financial advisors don't work to this standard, but rather to this suitability standard, the "it's okay if it's basically okay" approach. Under this lower standard, advisors can recommend investments that generate higher commissions for themselves rather than better returns for you, without disclosing this conflict. The financial industry uses over 200 impressive-sounding titles to convey expertise and trustworthiness: chartered college planning specialists, retirement management analysts, trusted financial advisors. Many of these require little or no coursework and have no legitimate accreditation. These designations disguise what many of these professionals actually are: salespeople making money by selling financial products while appearing to give disinterested advice. True fiduciaries rarely host free financial seminars. The complimentary meal presentations targeting those over 55 are incredibly common. AARP found 1 in 10 seniors had attended such an event within 3 years. Studies show over half contain exaggerations or misleading information, with 13% qualifying as outright fraud. Financial institutions advertise trusted advice and strong personal relationships, but these marketing claims mask a business model built on sales rather than client success. In one revealing study, actors posing as clients with perfect index fund portfolios were consistently advised to switch to high-fee investments, with women receiving particularly poor treatment. Financial advice is never free. According to a 2011 Cerulli Associates survey, 1/3 of people thought broker advice was free, while another 1/3 admitted complete confusion about advisor compensation. The culture of commission works through loads: front-end fees taking money off the top, back-end loads, penalties for early withdrawal, and trailing fees, ongoing commissions as long as you hold investments. Fee-based is a deceptive industry term, meaning an advisor can charge flat rates but might also work on commission. Instead, seek a fee-only advisor who is paid exclusively by you, either through a percentage of assets under management, 0.15 to 2%, a flat fee for specific services, or an hourly rate, $50 to $500 depending on credentials. Credentials that typically indicate fiduciary status include certified financial planner, registered investment advisor, RIA, and fee-only advisor. When interviewing advisors, specifically ask, "Do you work to the fiduciary standard at all times?" For extra protection, ask them to sign the Committee for the Fiduciary Standards oath, pledging to put your interests first. Buying a home can be both rewarding and financially risky, as Harold learned when he purchased a Chicago home in 2003 that later lost $70,000 in value. While homeownership offers potential benefits, it requires careful consideration of your financial readiness and long-term plans. Before the Great Depression, Americans were predominantly renters, with mortgages requiring 50% down payment and 5 to 10-year repayment terms. The Depression changed everything, introducing the 20% down, 30-year mortgage. Despite the housing crash during the Great Recession, Americans still view real estate as the best long-term investment. At its best, homeownership functions as an automatic savings plan. You put 20% down, make monthly payments on a fixed-rate mortgage, and eventually own a valuable asset. However, it's an expensive savings plan with substantial costs: interest payments, mostly in early years, property taxes that increase over time, and ongoing maintenance expenses. While stock market investments have historically outperformed housing by a factor of 8 since 1890, renting carries its own risks. Rents can increase dramatically. Currently, half of U.S. renters pay more than the recommended 30% of income for housing. Landlords can decide to sell, and renters lack control over their living environment. Experts recommend spending no more than one-third of take-home pay on housing. Getting pre-approved for a mortgage helps establish a realistic budget before house hunting. Remember that location matters more than fancy features. A modest home in a desirable neighborhood typically outperforms a gorgeous home in a lesser area. Home ownership works best as a long-term proposition, typically requiring at least 5 years to break even. Early mortgage payments mostly cover interest rather than principal, and selling costs, including real estate commissions of 3-6%, eat into potential profits. While challenging to save, putting 20% down reduces monthly payments, secures better interest rates, and protects against falling underwater if home values decline. With less than 20% down, you'll need private mortgage insurance, PMI, costing 0.5-1% of your home's value annually. While adjustable-rate mortgages or interest-only loans might seem appealing with their lower initial payments, they carry significant risks. With rates already at historic lows, why introduce more complexity and uncertainty? Elizabeth Warren's plain vanilla options, traditional 15 or 30-year fixed payment mortgages with 20% down, provide stability. Even with a down payment ready, you must have a fully funded emergency savings account before buying a home. Homeownership brings unexpected expenses, from broken heaters and appliances to basement leaks and wildlife invasions. Life setbacks, illness, job loss, won't stop mortgage payments from coming due. Nearly half of homebuyers don't comparison shop for mortgages, despite the significant financial implications. The difference between a $200,000 mortgage at 4% versus 4.5% amounts to $700 annually, $21,000 over 30 years. Contact multiple lenders and use comparison tools like Bankrate.com and the CFPB's Know Before You Owe. Insurance protects us from financial catastrophes that could destroy all our careful planning. Though depressing to contemplate disasters, proper coverage is essential since few have enough cash for extended hospital stays, home loss, or income disruption. Life insurance protects your dependents if you die unexpectedly. Beyond covering primary earners, stay-at-home parents should consider coverage too, as they provide services worth over $100,000 annually. Term insurance, protection for a set period, is most cost-effective. Get a 30-year level term policy even if you think you'll need it for less time, as future insurability isn't guaranteed. Beware of agents pushing whole or universal life policies that combine insurance with investments. These pay higher commissions but cost multiples more than term insurance while limiting investment options. Don't rely solely on employer-provided coverage, which typically only covers 1-2 years' salary and may not be portable if you leave. One in four 20-year-olds will become disabled before retirement age, and Social Security disability insurance payments average only about $1,200 monthly, much lower than private disability insurance. Most SSDI applications are denied, and approval can take years. Insurance isn't meant to cover every minor repair, but to protect your net worth. For homeowners insurance, understand exactly what your policy covers, especially for catastrophic events like floods or hurricanes. Opt for high deductible options since you'll rarely file claims for minor repairs. With auto insurance, focus on liability coverage rather than collision. Get liability coverage at least twice your net worth. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, everyone can now get health insurance regardless of pre-existing conditions. If you lack employer coverage, use healthcare.gov or state marketplaces. Even with insurance, be prepared for out-of-pocket expenses, which have grown by more than 50% since 2010. Only two insurance products are worth considering for retirement protection. Immediate annuities provide a set monthly payment for life after you turn over a lump sum. Longevity annuities, deferred annuities, begin payments at a future date, like age 80 or 85. If considering annuities, choose fixed annuities from low-cost providers like Vanguard or TIAA-CF. Avoid unnecessary insurance products like policies for new appliances, credit card payment protection, rental car coverage, identity theft, and life insurance for babies. Buy insurance from reputable companies with good consumer ratings to avoid problems when you need to file claims. Following the index card rules has transformed your financial life. You now understand your income and expenses, have clarified financial goals, built a firmer foundation with emergency savings, and increased retirement contributions. You're getting more value for your money by avoiding expensive schemes and working with fiduciary advisors. Despite our best financial planning, there's no magic bullet that protects us from all financial misfortune. Harold's financial success stems partly from his stable, well-paying job with benefits and tenure. Yet even he relied on government support like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security when his family cared for his brother-in-law, Vincent. Without these programs, they would have depleted all their resources. Social Security, Medicare, student loans, unemployment insurance, and mortgage tax deductions are all government programs that most Americans rely on at some point. Without these safety nets, our financial lives would be far more precarious. Social Security keeps nearly half of elderly Americans out of poverty, providing over 50% of income for most elderly beneficiaries. We must support these programs by speaking up when they're mischaracterized and acknowledging their importance. By protecting both ourselves through good financial habits and our fellow citizens through social programs, we create the best chance for financial security. This is where our book ends, but your journey is just beginning. You don't need to be a financial genius to follow these principles. They all fit on a simple index card. Keep it visible on your refrigerator, as a phone screenshot, or even as your laptop screensaver. The index card serves as your defense against information overload, bringing you back to simplicity and common sense. Now stop worrying about your finances and enjoy your life.